This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, October 11th, 2016, episode 91. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. Hey, welcome to Infection. A little different of an intro today. Nick is under the weather, but he is here.
I'm here. Welcome,
Nick.
Hey.
Yes.
That was good.
So he threw me under the bus about 30 seconds ago saying you're going
to
do this.
It was either that or, hey, everybody, welcome to Infection. I have a feeling there's some people that are listening to this in the car going, oh my God, Nick is finally gone. Holy crap. It's finally happening.
Brian is announcing, finally. Nick is off the show officially. So Nick's going to be sitting here sipping tea, and I'm sure that's tea. It could be vodka. He's like, it's going to.
No.
Purifying my throat, killing all bacteria.
Well, Langan likes my intro better, so I'll be back next week. But now we know if Brian ever wants to spin off and do his own Infection, he's more than capable. So
not like you've had 90 episodes of practice,
and I still screwed up every once.
Yeah,
now good luck with the outro, well. Brian, because you're doing the outro too. So get ready for that.
Darn it.
Yeah, that was a real pain. So we've got a few things coming up on this week's show. We've got that interview with Mampons that we teased last week in turn of the Invitational, which was a pre-recorded segment, and we'll have that coming up in a little bit later on in the show. Other than that, we want to start off with some ARK news, Brian?
Yeah, let's jump right into ARK. ARK is, they've got this update coming up, and they pushed it out. Originally, I think they were saying it was going to be out the week of the 10th. I mean, if you didn't read the fine print, I was thinking the 10th. But they said the week of the 10th, they pushed it out to October 18th. So I guess 8 days after the 10th, whatever. And so a lot of those updates that I've been talking about, they will be a week from today. So those should be going live. And they're getting really high on the numbers. Like they're on the official server. I think our server is like at 27.997 right now, and they're expecting that to last 8 days, and I just don't think they're going to do it.
Why do they always get into this situation?
I don't know. They lock themselves into these. Well, right now they're on 247.99 on the official release for the client. Like, so they're telling you know as well as I do, they're not going to last 8 days on .99 whatevers.
They'll be able to do 9 more updates. They can do 991, 992.
And then they're going to have to go into the micro ones. So,
which it'll fail. And once it hits 4 digits, it'll probably break everything like it did when they went to 3 the first time.
Yeah, my update software is going to be like, I have no idea what we're doing now, and my server's going to crash, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And then after that, so October 27th, so right before Halloween, they're going to be doing the ARK Fear Evolved 2, which is... I think last year, didn't we start really playing this right around Thanksgiving? Because there was all of those, turkeys for Thanksgiving that we were battling.
I spent my Thanksgiving with Ross taming a Carno last year. So
yeah,
we definitely we were at our pinnacle of ARK around this time last year.
Yes, and so that's kind of our 1 year anniversary. So that we didn't really get to do the Halloween one because we came in like right after that. So,
yes.
So this will be our first time with the Halloween. So we can go check out some of those things because these are seasonal. They won't show up again till next year.
And if I'm right, I believe the Halloween is what brought us in. After we saw the Halloween update, we were like, oh, this is pretty neat. Let's check this out.
Okay. So we had seen these dinosaur skins that were like skeletons. They're like walking skeleton dinosaurs like you would see in a museum. That is what this is. And we saw that, and it was an amazing video that they did. It looks incredible. And I think if you tame some of those dinosaurs that are the dino ones, the dinosaur stays as that.
They do.
So you have a tame dinosaur that is a skeleton. So this is your time to be able to do that. And so that will go until November 6th. So you have from the 27th to the 20th till the November 6th to do that. So make sure that you get in there and get whatever things tamed. Maybe we could do, this would be a good time for us to get a group together and do like the Dodo Rex, like do the special event and try to kill the Dodo Rex.
When does that start?
So it will start on the 27th.
All right. So then two Friday.
Because that would be a nice goal.
Friday the 28th. Hey, do it for the game night.
Well, and we can have some people kind of work towards it. Say, hey, let's all kind of work towards getting to that, so that maybe have people start playing for a week beforehand and getting the dinosaurs and all the resources and whatever. We got to figure out what all we need for to try to fight the Dodorex. But that would be kind of a fun thing. So we've never really done that yet. So, all right. So 247.93. And this was October 4th that they came out with this one. So they made Dino's current following target save, so it remembers who it was following, doesn't lose that information. Fixed a case where tame dinos would erroneously be destroyed on slowed and unstasis. Actually, I think did we do that one last? No, let me look. I want to make sure we didn't cover that one. No, we're not. Okay. And then they changed the enemy structure destruction for the victim's tribe to not display in the tribe logs by default. So you now have to use a command variable to be able to do that. And so you can turn on so it still shows it in the log, but it by default, it no longer shows in the log. And then 247.95, so these are a bunch of smaller ones. But here's a big one. They did a significant server-side performance improvement of approximately 10% on average. So servers using 10% less resources. So that's really good for my server. And then servers, and this is nice because it makes it easier to run, because they're wanting you to run possibly three different servers on one server. If you take a look at the island and then the center, and then they also have the new expansion. So that could possibly be three separate game installations that you're running on your server. So 10% ends up being 30%. Servers can now override their difficulty above 4.0. So before it was capped at 4.0, what the difficulty is the max dino level, in your character level, things like that. Those were capped with that number. So let's say you'd maybe see level 120 dinos running around. That is no longer capped. So you could do a 5.0, 6.0, but they said be careful, because if you go too high, something's going to spawn in and it's going to destroy everything you have. So, that's great. But if you're going to sit there and try to raise it up, you need to do it.
You've been warned.
Yeah, you do it in pieces, because it's a good way to wipe everything on the server that you have. So that's 247.95. 247.96, just one thing, says fix serious performance issue with dedicated servers. They didn't say exactly what it was, but they said highly recommended that all servers host upgrade as soon as possible. So there's probably something that was just using a ton of resources that they fixed pretty quickly.
Or a security exploit, right?
No, it said it was more of a performance issue. Okay. So yeah, so it's probably just either eating a ton of memory or CPU usage. And then 247.97, they further performance improvements on server-side timer logic. And that was October 8th. And then 247.99, improvement to server physics performance. So this is a lot of patches in this past week, just working on the servers. And I think a lot of that, as I said, is because they're now expecting people to possibly run three different servers on one machine. And so they were probably getting a lot of complaints from people that don't have maybe as beefy. I could run the three on mine and it would still run. But maybe someone's not running as big of a machine. That could be a big problem. You don't want it to where your server is either, capping out and not able to perform how it's supposed to, or, shutting down other services. So that brings us current. And then, as I said, kind of keep your eye on the 18th. So next week, a week from today, they're going to be doing a pretty big update. One of those things to keep in mind is the wielding of your weapons while on the dinos. So you can now do jousting and things like that. And then they have four new dinos coming, and then the procedurally generated arcs, which will be an interesting thing to see how that, that's now possibly a fourth server that you would run. Maybe you'd generate your own and then you'd want to run one on there. So
what are they thinking? Do they not understand how expensive and how resource intensive these servers are to run?
Yeah. I mean,
how are they affording this? How are they running four dedicated servers? How are they running four dedicated servers for every dedicated server?
Yeah, that's where they've got to get the resources down to where it's not, because.
But it's got to cost them a fortune. Times, I mean, think about it. If you could run, if previously you could run 10 just regular ARC survival evolved servers on one box. Yeah. Now you've got to have three individual servers for all of them.
Three, definite ones. They're having three definite ones for each one, because
that's crazy.
So that you can do those server transfers between, you know, doing your character transfers between the servers.
I just don't see how they're going to
offer another one, that then once again, you run into the exact same problem. For every procedurally generated one, that's another server running. So if they can get it down, it used to be that it would possibly take about one of my cores to run this server. Like when, you know, there were a couple of people on it, it would take about 100% CPU of one core. But let's say someone has like a dual core server or, you know, a quad core server.
Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be running three dedicated cores just to run the servers. And then if your system needs to do anything else, like you're stuck. So,
yeah.
So that's Arc. And the fact that they put so much, so many resources into this week of getting that done, shows that that is a concern. So we'll just have to see if they keep doing it. I've been watching. I always check on my server at least once a day. And the server resources have been going down. Like it'll sit there at 10% sometimes. So that's pretty good.
Do 10, you
15%.
Do you want to tentatively put ARC for the 28th of October if you want to, you know, do that?
The game night?
Yeah, to do that event.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. Plan that for the 28th. And
okay.
Coming up this week, what do we can do?
Were we doing H1Z1 again? I think, did we say for the next couple weeks?
Your call. I won't be here, so it's totally whatever you want to do.
Let's do, I mean, people are still on the H1Z1 train.
Okay. Choo-choo.
and so, you know, that's fine with me, because we get in there and like everybody's been having so much fun with H1Z1 lately that people feel like we're kind of pulling them away to do another game that they may be. So let's let that kind of get out of our system.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
A thing to note, so it'll be Friday night around 9 o'clock in our Discord. Another thing to note is that we've been streaming H1Z1 throughout the week. We'll have some more details on what we're streaming for coming up next week's show. So look forward to that. If you're not catching any of those live streams, we're gonna have a pretty sizable announcement. Excuse me, coming up next week during the show. So more details to follow with that. So H1Z1 this week. And do we want to announce our game giveaway here?
Yes. So let me go and open up the raffle here before anyone clicks. All right. So we open the raffle. So if you just want to type !! raffle, that will get you entered into the raffle. And then what I was going to do for this one, let me get my code going. So I was going to do Broken Age. This is one that actually kickstarted originally, and it was different. It was kind of an adventure type of a game. Wasn't what I expected, but it is still fun. It was professionally voiced by the guy who was in Lord of the Rings.
No, big fan of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember his real name, but Frodo from Lord of the Rings, is the person that did the voice, and also like Jack Black, Elijah Wood, right?
I've never seen a Lord of the Rings movie either.
But you know who Jack Black is.
Yeah, I do know who Jack Black is, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, this is Broken Age. I'll put a link to it in chat so you can see, check it out for yourself, but type !! raffle, and then we'll draw that here in just a little bit. This game, $25 right now. So it's made by Double Fine, and it comes in two parts. But this has both parts in it, so you should be able to play the whole story, and it is fun. It's hours and hours worth of entertainment. So, and it's got very positive rating out of 5,000 ratings. It's a point and click adventure, indie that was kickstarted, and they made this company has made a lot of very famous games. So, it's well done. So, yeah, !! raffle, and we'll roll that in here in a little bit.
Cool stuff.
All right, so do we want to jump into some H1Z1? We talked a little bit about how we've been playing.
Yeah, we've been playing this week. I played a few solo games today. Came in, I think, ninth on one of them. But we've been playing a lot over the past,
and we've been improving quite a bit. We had it where we actually won first place in five mans, I think, four times in one night.
Of course, the night I'm not there, we win.
Yeah, the night you weren't there, but we had two in a row, I think. Maybe there was one like quick little game in between.
Actually, I was there that night. We won We won one or two, I think. But yeah, we've, you know, it's interesting because I wish there was more action. I don't really care about winning. I just, sometimes it's just so boring. And the five man's not so much because we're cracking jokes in Discord and whatnot.
But especially in the solos, because that's the issue is I find myself not really wanting to play solos. Because in the five man, we're all talking and we're having fun. And a lot of it is the entertainment of just us hanging out and playing.
So what I did is when I was playing some solos today, I put a podcast on while I was playing. And that livened it up a little bit. You know, and obviously I'd turn the podcast down when I was shooting at somebody. But for a good majority of the game, I was just had a podcast, you know, playing. And that's how I got through the solos because they're unbelievably boring.
And that's what they've really got to figure out is with the solos, how are they going to get to where there is action? Like, do they need, and this is something we've suggested before, do they need to bring the smoke in to a certain point and land people in a smaller area for solos to get the game going?
I still think they need to do that because for a majority of that solo game, I got three kills. No, I got two kills. For the one that I came in 10th place or whatever. I didn't see people for a majority of the game. I mean, I saw them I saw them at when the zone was quite small. So I'd say I had about 20 minutes or so of alt-tabbed out, browsing Reddit, sitting in a tree line because I was just waiting. I mean,
good old classic H1Z1.
Yeah. And I know some would say, oh, we'll just run around and try to kill people. But there's just not people. I was running through cities. That's the thing, there was nobody there.
Yeah, I'll run around. I've had times where I've wanted to die, you know, I'm going to go find somebody and I run around for 5 minutes plus and I can't find a single person. And, you know, we've had it to where we're driving around honking horns, putting on police sirens, doing everything we can to be like, hey, come over here. I've run up to people and asked them to shoot me. Like when I finally found somebody, I'm like, please shoot me. That's the thing is they've got to figure out in solo, come up with a quick battle mode.
Yeah.
One that drops you off around a city. Everybody goes in and like it's 5 to 10 minute action.
Yeah. It would be cool if they started the zone 20, 30, around PV and let's say you wouldn't want 60 people, but maybe you've got 30 people or 40 people in this city. And it just starts there because I spawned in PV, the game that I came in the top 10 in. And I spawned in PV and I didn't see a single person in PV. I ran throughout PV, and that's when I decided I was going to go sit in a tree and wait. I mean, I was in the biggest city in the game. I couldn't find it. I was just shooting in the air, shooting my Magnum in the air.
Just too many people run off because they know they just want to survive too, especially with the new ranking system.
But here's the other issue.
They want to get in the top.
This is what I noticed. The other issue is that there's too many cars in solo. There's too many cars. Everybody is in a car. Everybody is in a car constantly.
Well, and we run into it to where I ran across a group in five mans that had five cars. You know, they run around with five police cars. Obviously, there's too many police cars. There's too many cars in general if they're capable of doing that.
Yeah. If in the five man, I think the cars are fine. There may be a few too many, but in solo, there's absolutely way too many vehicles. I mean, you go through cities and they're just abandoned. They're just sitting there.
Well, if they dropped everybody off in a smaller area, like they wouldn't even need cars. No, they don't spawn cars.
Yeah.
They can bring in a small area, have people run, and everybody's like, oh, I'm going to run. I'm just going to run, you know, start running in and have it to where the smoke never stops. Like you drop and it's consistently coming in and maybe it speeds up as it gets closer to center. But like, you're like, okay, I got to start moving, pick up gear and start working to the center. They kind of tried to do this with the one where you had the vehicle and you had to be in a certain spot, trying to get people to run and rush. But that I didn't really enjoy. Like, it doesn't have to be that fast, but just have it to where you're dropped in and the smoke is creeping. It will be working its way in. You have a few minutes to get gear and then start working yourself towards where you know the center is going
to
be.
And so to put this out there, the reason I've been trying to play solos is I think I'm arguably the weakest link when we do a five man BR. I think I may have figured out the cause, but I'm just not very accurate. And I guess it turns out everybody besides me, I guess, shoots in third person. And I always shoot in third person. I'm constantly like, how am I not hitting this person?
Well, I was watching your video and I'm like, Nick, what are you doing? Because you keep switching forth. Because that's the way we used to do it.
Yeah, right? That is the way we used to do it. That's
switching
always how I've done
forth,
it.
Forth, back between first person, third person. I was just like, Nick, why are you going into first person? He's like, because that's how. I'm like, don't do it anymore.
Yeah,
like,
so
I've been, kills your accuracy.
I've been playing solo BRs just trying to, trying to line up my shots and figure all that stuff out. And it's just such a pain in the ass to do in the regular BR because it's like 40 minutes of nothing.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying.
So you're not really getting to work.
That's why I love a 40 people in Pleasant Valley, because no matter what, you're either going to be dead in 5 minutes or win in 5 minutes. I'd love that. I'd do that constantly over and over and over again until I was able to perfect my shot.
And it can be lesser rewards. Like it's a quicker game. Have it be lesser rewards, maybe less points, whatever. But I think that would really improve the gameplay of just getting people to go in and do quick games.
Yeah, I would, because at this point right now, I'm trying to improve my accuracy in the game. And to do that, I'd like action. But I'm not getting action in the solos. There's too many people. There's not enough people, and the map is too big. They could spawn double the amount of people in. And so they could have a, what is it?
Well, that's the thing.
What is it, 100 people? 120 people?
Server, I think 150 is what
I mean, they could put 300 people in those servers, and it would be, I mean, I don't know. But how can I be running through Pleasant Valley at the beginning of the game and not getting killed? And not seeing anybody to kill? That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's because everybody goes out and is like, I'm going to get gear, I'm going to hide out in the edges and then work my way in. Like, that's become the mindset. And I think if they could get it, you know, someone was saying kind of like CSGO version of, you know, CSGO mod. If they could get that, have a game mode, not make the whole BR that, make it so that there's the option. They may find that a lot more people are doing the quicker, faster game because it's instant action and that's what people want. Like, people love the fighting in this game. They don't love the running around and not doing anything part of this game. That just, they're put up with that.
Yeah.
And so I think that they would find a lot better response from people. And I mean, people are still playing it, but it would just make a quicker, faster game that is a nicer to stream too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always catering to the streamers. That would be much better than running around for 10 minutes, watching a streamer run around and gather gear for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Alrighty. So let's talk about some of the issues we ran into this week while we were playing. You had one that I actually was able to catch on stream. We were doing double box.
Well, usually I complain about it. I say this happened, but it's never being recorded. And finally it happened. And like, I was like, Nick was streaming it. So he was like, let's roll that back. So
this was actually pretty cool for people. This is not relevant to the clip at all. But so what I was doing is I was streaming my gameplay, and then I was also streaming Brian's gameplay through the Steam watch. You can watch your friend, and it actually like lets you DVR, lets you roll back and like scrub through the video, which is pretty neat. I don't know if people knew that, but you could scrub. Used to just be a live broadcast, but now you can scrub through like it's a YouTube video, and watch forward and back. So, are you talking over this clip, or do you want me to put the audio full?
I am talking. I am, because this is my initial. I actually rant in it, so you can go ahead and play if you want, because it'll probably be a lot of what I would say right now.
Alrighty, so here we go.
Record that.
Brian point blank with the shotgun. Here we...
Someone's near me. He's talking.
Oh, no, you killed this guy.
So you hit that guy.
Oh, I killed the first one. Yeah,
and it hit the fence, but it didn't hit him.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
I go around the corner, and I just... Point blank, I'm shooting the guy. It blows up the fence behind him, but it does 30 damage. He has no helmet. He has no body armor. How is the shotgun doing 30 damage from point blank? It kills me first shot many times.
Yeah.
And so we've got a lot of video here, actually, of other people running into the same problem. I mean, here, watch. One shot, dead, right? I mean, that it's supposed to work that way. Another shot, point blank, nothing.
Yeah.
From the same distance. The same shotgun, the same place, right?
Yeah.
So here I have some other videos. If you just kind of want to go through each one, they're different variations.
You want the audio on them, any of them?
One of them you can't really hear. The probably the last one we can do audio on.
All right, so this
first one I know you can't really hear.
All right, so here's the first one.
So here's somebody just running up to him, and he can't hear it.
Oh, this is Stairwave. He's firing. Yeah.
Is this Stairway playing? Yeah, so Stairway playing. He's just sitting here firing at this person. Nothing is happening.
Yeah, this here dead bullets is what they're being referred to as now.
Yes.
See, what you had wasn't really a dead bullet. It was just inaccuracy. But this dead bullet thing has been popping up all over
the internet. So now let's go and jump to the next one.
All right. Let's see. Who do we got here next? Is this Fix Your Servers Daybreak?
Yes.
Okay. Is there audio on
this? You can hear him just shoot.
Okay, here we go.
You can hear the shotgun sound. Same thing. Just right there.
Throw the Molotov. It won't throw my molly.
Firing. Nothing is happening.
Yeah, nothing here.
It's going to look very similar. So now this last one, another streamer.
All right, let's see. Let's get this.
Just runs up to some people.
This is a good one. I just saw this one today. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yay, awesome. Dead bullets.
So, I mean, this is becoming
the norm.
Shotgun. We've been complaining about shotguns and saying there's something wrong.
I haven't had this issue happen yet. I've had the, I shouldn't say I have. I don't have it anymore because I don't bother you picking it up. I don't know why. Brian still does. And I don't even know why anybody would bother picking it up.
That was part of the thing is, all I could find was a shotgun at that point, and there was people coming. So I was like, I just gotta,
gotta
go for it.
I haven't had, I'm going to start picking up the shotgun now to see if I can get this because I haven't seen dead bullet. I've seen the unbelievable inconsistencies.
And JD, he made a comment. He says, well, maybe I didn't do that 30 damage. Maybe he fell like jumping over the fence or something. And like, maybe I did no damage to him. I don't know. Like, I just saw that there was 30 damage done. I assumed that was from my shotgun, but it could be that my shotgun did nothing.
We'll end on this. Cause we do have that interview to get to, but with the issue, and I think I made this point to Brian while right after this happened is for months now, we've been in the patch notes, or I should say months ago when they were doing patch notes, we saw time and time again, shotgun consistency, shotgun this, shotgun that. We fixed the shotgun. Shotgun's been fixed. I mean, word it any way you'd like. Shotgun, shotgun, shotgun. And it's as broken now as ever.
I put it in the vehicle or I try to drop it just so I don't catch myself in that situation anymore. Like, I don't want to have a shotgun because I rely on it. And then you see what happens. Like,
it was very weird.
50-50 chance.
At one point, the shotgun worked very well. Then it stopped working. Then it just didn't work at all. Then it sort of worked, and now with Z2, it doesn't really work again. It's not Z2 that's the issue, obviously, but it just doesn't really work the same.
Something's gone back.
And it does appear that this, and we'll have this coming up in the interview with Mampons, but he had a much different experience playing this game on LAN.
And if I remember correctly, it was during the interview he kind of explained. Explain why.
Yeah.
So do you want to go and jump into that interview? Do you have everything ready for that?
Yeah, so here is our interview with Manpons in reference to the H1Z1 2016 Invitational. We had him on the show last year. So here we go with Man. Actually, hold on. Let's do the giveaway first. Let's do that now.
Okay.
Before we start.
Let's go ahead and roll that. Otherwise, because this is a 30-minute interview. Yeah. So, all right. Very good. So let's go ahead and draw this. Green Man Cartoons. He has one. If you want to go check out, he's got a YouTube channel. He does a lot of funny cartoons on different games, Ark, H1Z1. He's got a list of them on there. So you should check out his YouTube channel, Green Man Cartoons.
Alrighty. So here we go.
Send you the code for that.
Yep. And here we go with our interview with Mampons, and you'll hear all of his details, and we'll rack it up at the end. Hey, everybody. We're here with Mampons, who came in third place in the first H1Z1 Invitational 2016 game this year. Mampons, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me.
Brian is here as well. And first of all, what was that prize pool that you were able to take home for that first game?
I mean, not this is, you know, without taxes taken out, of course, but it's $16,034.
Is that something that you
and 64 cents? Don't forget the 64 cents.
Is that something you thought about going into to this invitational? Is that, you know, that would be really awesome to be taking home a pretty significant chunk of money from this thing.
Yeah, I found out a month before they announced it. So I wasn't allowed to talk about it. I wasn't allowed to tell anybody that I was invited or anything. And from that point, I started thinking of strategies.
So speaking of strategies, what would you say? Now, you participated in the 2015 Invitational as well. So besides Z2 being the map difference, what were the differences like from your end as a player between the 2015 Invitational and this year's Invitational?
A couple of things. So the first one is the skill gap of players. Obviously, like, you have people that were brought in by Echo Fox that made it in. You had Pineapples, who's a member of my stream team, make it in with a Take Your Shot, who's also an incredible player. Then you've got people like Isco, Stay Lifted, Rupee, Saint Die, even Dan's was rocking up stuff, Random Rain, all those people that came in from the qualifiers, and you know, Promethean as well, holding it down. So a lot of people that actually invest a lot of time in the game. Whereas, you know, the first one, there was a lot of huge names and stuff. But for an example, like, I'm a Cutie Pie, never had played the game before. And that was the first time he ever played it, was at the Invitational for the first one. So it's definitely a huge skill gap jump in comparison. So, you know, it means a lot more to win this time than it was, you know, would have been the first time.
Now, talking about the strategy, what was your opinion? There was a lot of players in the top 10, 15 players that had zero kills. Like, what did you think about that as far as, you know, there was a strategy of staying back, there was a strategy of just going in, like, you got a decent number of kills in your games, you know, and it showed in your getting third place. But what about, like, the people that got zero kills? I mean, did you notice that? Was it like, well, you know, what were they doing? Were they holding back and hiding?
I mean, to be honest with you, I can't really judge them because, like, in my mind, I didn't even look at the kill feed a majority of the time. The only time that I looked at the kill feed was mainly top 10. So, like, to really know who got kills and didn't get kills, you know, I can't really speak on that. But I mean, you can't really blame them, though. You know, we're playing for money, a lot of money at that, like $40,000 for first place. So, you know, knowing that that's at stake, you know, trying to play smart and hold on, especially if you get lucky to get, like, eliminated or something, you want to try to hold on to that until the very end of the game to, you know, make it through fights. So, I mean, I can't really blame them. It's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Now, last week we had a suggestion about possibly, like, kills getting kind of a bonus, like, part of the prize money being if you get three kills, like, you get money for that. I mean, that seems like that would kind of encourage that gunplay and a little bit less of the holding back.
Oh, absolutely. That would have been really cool because, I mean, that would have been more money in my pocket.
Yeah, so. You would have at least three kills in one game, you know, of prize money.
Now, I think the big question that I specifically had going into this 2016 Invitational was if Z2 was going to be ready in time. Do you feel like you had enough time beforehand to get on this map and learn this map? And did you get it earlier than the rest of the public because you were going to the Invitational?
So the way that that worked out, right, is during the first game, or during the announcement and everything, they also gave us keys to our own server that we could play on and stuff, but there was never really any test things set up for it. But the moment that the test server came online, you know, that's all I did. You can ask people that watched my stream. I didn't play Z1 for the last 2 weeks that it was out, or 3 weeks. I didn't touch it. I only played on Z2. It didn't matter if the match had started with 8 people or 64 or however many. I was telling people, you know, that watch my stream, come in, play against me. I want to get used to the map. I want to know the little nooks and crannies. I want to know what's good and what's bad and what's going to work.
And I think you killed me a few times during the test servers being open on Z2. was 2 weeks enough? I mean, we've had over a year on Z1. I think everybody that's listening to this show, and I'm sure a lot of your viewers, know this map, you know, like the back of their hand. They know everything about this map. Was 2 weeks enough for you to learn Z2? And I guess it was, as you came in third place in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that, in my opinion, Z2 was needed because Z1 had too many flaws. So it's good that they brought it in when they did, and I'm happy that they put so much effort into it, because at the end of the day, it made it more of like, it wasn't necessarily how you gas ran, whereas, you know, with the 2015 one, a lot of people gas ran and stuff, which would have been like super easy to make money. And, you know, then you have the other way as well. It's like, it just, the way the map works is it forces you to make decisions and make those split decisions seconds to make those decisions and like capitalize on it. So
did you feel like there's a little bit more ebb and flow with this one as far as the way that maybe the landing was distributed and the way that there's more places for you to go and loot? And because if you look at Z1, I mean, there was prime areas. Everyone would kind of work towards those areas because they knew exactly what was there. Did you feel like this one kind of worked its way to the center a little bit more evenly? Or, you know, how did it lay out compared?
So Z1 compared to Z2 is night and day, because Z2 allows you to make a decision on where you want to go. And then with the map showing you where the map or where the safe zone is going to be, it allows you to develop an early game type of strategy and go with that. Whereas, you know, you didn't have much time with Z1 to decide where you were going to go or where the map's going to be and how you're going to get there. If you were in Ranchito and then you had 3 minutes to get to the safe zone that was southwest, you didn't have enough time to run there. So now having that in Z2, where you know 2 minutes into the game where it's going to be, you can fully start to get a thought process of how the game's going to go for you. So that's, you know, that was major, because in game, in the 2015, I had really poor spawns in both games. I landed or I spawned in over the mountain in game one. That's, you know, like directly like between Cranberry and Pleasant Valley. And I made it to Olone. And then in game two, I spawned over Spence Hills, which, you know, I could land late everywhere that I was going to go. So, and which, you know, I died very early because of it. So this year was definitely more significant and better thought out.
Would you say?
Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, did you have any issues with, you know, hardware issues, issues with the games, issues with the map once the Invitational actually started? Were there any hiccups on your end?
There was only one hiccup, and that was at the very beginning. When I left on Friday, they told me that my mouse and stuff wouldn't be changed. But I noticed, like, right as the game starts for the, you know, the Invitational, I didn't really mess with my mouse or anything other than changing the, you know, the necessary things. I realized, I was like, man, my mouse feels super light. And I looked, and all my weights had been taken out. So that's the only thing.
That was
once
regulation?
I got the weights in and all that, then I was good.
Was that a regulation thing they did? Did they do that to everybody's mouse?
No. You could decide if you wanted the weights in or weights out. Okay. And I guess whoever used it during the qualifiers on Saturday used it without weights. They didn't like it. So, yeah.
Speaking of the qualifiers, there's been some things that have popped up online about how that process didn't seem to work out fairly there. I guess there was an issue with some big streamers that were able to play in all three qualifiers instead of going back through the line. Did you have any process going through the qualifiers? I know you were invited, so did you have anything with qualifiers?
No, I didn't do anything with the qualifiers. And actually on Saturday, I didn't go because, you know, I just wanted to take care of myself instead and, you know, focus on the next day. So, but I've heard horror stories of how, you know, there were individuals that got to play in 4 out of 5 games, 3 out of 5 games, and were very upset. So, I mean, I feel like maybe they should have gotten the first, you know, it was 60 people in every game, You do that times five, first 300 people to sign up. You know, you get the first, you know, set. Once they get that done, they play in a specific game. That's their only opportunity. You know, like they, that's just to be fair. Because, I mean, there was so many people that came there just for the sole purpose to try to get into the Invitational.
I think if they would have just, and it's not that what they did was bad, right? And I think from a business standpoint, I understand what they're trying to accomplish by making sure, you know, there's like, for instance, Stay Lifted, like, right. He qualified. If you look, he's one of the guys who has the most kills in the game. You know, he's in the top tier. He's got the most kills. That's someone who you would want to have in there. And I think if they've just said, hey, you know, these people are ones that we want to give them a chance. You know, they've done really well in the game. We want to give them a chance and not have it be so much, you know, just they didn't happen to be in line at the right place. You know, they will have some of the more popular streamers that will be able to play in each qualifier. And then this many spots are for people that just show up at the door. And I think that people were upset because they thought it was all going to be totally even.
Yeah.
Which Daybreak admitted it wasn't.
Right. If they had done that and they had been a little more transparent, which we all know Daybreak has always had issues with being transparent, then maybe it wouldn't have been such a big issue. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can only do so much. And even though, you know, for some people they thought it was bad, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's the absolute worst thing on the planet.
Yeah.
I've got a quick question in terms of them switching. You know, you said you had an issue with your mouse. Did they have E or F bound to the interact key at the Invitational, and were you allowed to switch that?
It was E.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, because right afterwards in the main game, they switched it to where E and F were. So I logged in the game, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm hitting E and nothing's happening, and I look, and, oh, okay, they switched it. So we were curious, like, that'd be a big thing out of just reflex to change. You know, because that was on the week of the Invitational that we had the change.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely very odd. But, you know, we were able to change everything. The only thing was 2 days before or 3 days before we left, we got news that, and this was just crazy, we got told that if you are in the car and you jump out, your med kit will stop working. And that it's just like live and to deal with it. So it sucked. But, you know, it is what it is.
Wow.
Were there any type of those kind of like those little issues, whether it's a bug or not, just those changes that you really noticed in the game, you know, changes with the med kits and changes. Was there anything that you found yourself having to prepare for because it was so different from Z1 or the way that it used to be that you're like, you don't want to go get in a situation where you're having to think really quickly and all of a sudden you're hitting the wrong key or doing the wrong thing?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely influenced the way people played 100%. So that was like one of the major things. Definitely one of the major things.
Did you have any, we've been playing a lot of this game recently. And we've been playing with a lot of the audience recently, too. And we've been having just weird issues where guns just don't fire for some reason. The shotgun seems to be practically useless in the game. It's so inconsistent. Any of those issues pop up during any of your kills in the game?
No. The thing is on LAN, it works really, really, really well. The shotgun is key. It's ideal. It's something you want to carry with you. But when it comes to online, I don't know what it is because I know the exact stuff that you're talking about. It's just so weird that when you're online, the shotgun just doesn't work. But that thing, you can ask anybody that played in the qualifiers or anybody that played in the Invitational, it has the power to put people down so quick.
Yeah.
Now,
and I think a lot of it has to do with the latency and the ping times. We have people that play, a lot of people that play in Europe and just different parts of the world. And for them, like, they'll be skipping all over the place. And it's like, well, how am I supposed to shoot a target that I see? I mean, it looks like they're teleporting. And I think a lot of our mistakes of, well, oh, that's somebody who's using a hack and teleporting back in the past was really just ping. You know, it's like, it's nice that you don't have to deal with that. And I think that's a lot of what we see is we're aiming at what's supposed to be there and they're already 5 feet, you know, to the left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, during, I believe it was your second game, you had about a 5 or 6 minute gun battle with another player. And the commentators...
Yeah, jerk chicken.
Okay, and the commentators kept making this point. You were using a lot of explosives. Did those work different on land than they do in the game? Because I feel like every time I'm using them, they seem very, very ineffective. What's your experience with those?
Okay, so I, for the longest time, I made my name off of being the explosive arrow king, the explosive tip guy. Like, you can even go through my YouTube channel, and you'll see I have a 13-kill win game of using nothing but explosive arrows. Didn't use anything else. That's back when they were completely broken, overpowered, whatever you want to say, right? Now, explosive arrows are trash. Doesn't matter if it's on land, doesn't matter if it's on the internet, you know, like playing against people on the internet, they're trash. I used it in both game one and game two, but that was a part of my strategy. One thing I knew people, I mean, if you guys want me to go into this, if you don't want me to, then I, you know, I can skip out of it. But,
no, please.
So I think you guys have seen it where when you're playing on Z2, it's very easy to get pinched.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I've thought, you know, I did a lot of theory crafting, a lot of staying up late at night to decide how I'm going to go into the Invitational and knock this chip off of my shoulder from having such a bad 2015 year. And I looked at every single thing in the game and I was like, this is going to put me above everybody else. It's not going to be meant for damage. It's not going to be meant for anything else than shooting at people to put fear in them. And to also use it as, like, you know, when people hear shots, they're immediately attracted to it. So yeah. They don't know where I'm shooting my arrows from. But if I see that person, I'm signaling to every single person around that one person that there's something going down there. And then that turns all the attention onto that one person. And that's exactly what I used it for.
Interesting. Interesting. So that's an inside pro tip to be using those as an intimidation factor instead of what they should actually be used for, which is dealing damage.
Right.
Now, wrapping up with this question, I want your thoughts on this. You play this game way more than Brian and I do, and a lot more than I think anybody I know. What do you think about Carr's late game? They seem like they're super OP when the zone is really starting to wind up and to get into such a small area. Do you think they could do anything about the Carrs? You know, is there maybe at certain point the Carrs just need to disappear like they do in the Box of Destiny? What are your thoughts on Carrs come late game?
Okay, so Carrs in the late game. I actually have a perfect video for that where it was an ending where everybody was in the field, right? There was one rock, three trees. That's it. The rest of it was just flat. And every single person, including myself, out of the top five had a car. And it was nothing more than a cowboy and Indian show. So, you know, the main thing that I would say is right now, because the Magnum is so strong and there's no changes that's going to happen to it, you know, carry a Magnum. Other than that, I mean, it's ultimately at the end of the day, it's the player's fault that other people are stealing cars. Because I try to make note of it for myself. If I see someone in a car, instead of taking and doing damage on them, I want to disable them. Because that puts me in a better position, so I'm in the car at the end of the game, and they're not.
Now, speaking of the Magnum, that's been something that I've noticed. For me, it's equivalent to a sniper rifle with less drop. Did you see a lot of people using the Magnum? I mean, for me, today I got a headshot from farther than I can hit with a sniper rifle, doing no drop on the Magnum. Did you see that kind of abused a little bit in this tournament?
In game two, Adrian killed OPSCT in the top three with a Magnum from a pretty good distance, about 150 meters out, which Adrian's really, like, he's outstanding with that Magnum. That's something that I'm truly scared of. Another one that I could think of, Sandy Ravage had pineapples pinched in between me and him, and Sandy was just sitting there Magnuming Piney over and over and over again. And you know, we ended up killing him because he was trapped in between the both of us. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of people using it. Me personally, you know, for me, I knew another thing that I'll, you know, admit is on land, it's very difficult to hit magnum shots on a car or on an ATV that's moving super quickly because, yeah. You know, there's no, you're not compensating or anything like that. You just have to aim for it and you have to consistently shoot. So I chose to always be on an ATV rather than to be in a car. And that's something that for me, you know, I didn't want to carry the Magnum because I could just, you know, spray at somebody if they're coming by or doing something along those lines. So,
well, and I think too,
it's
you
really
being,
just, go ahead.
I think you two being a streamer that does this a lot, I would want to be kind of careful about getting myself used to playing with the glitches. I mean, like that's something that's going to go away. I mean, they're going to change that and it's no longer going to be that way. And so, you know, I would think that you would want to keep kind of the good habits, you know, like the thing with, you know, shooting the arrows, that's a good habit because that's something you'll always be able to use. The Magnum thing, I mean, that's a bug that's happening right now. In my opinion, I assume that it's not supposed to do that. You know, I wouldn't want to get to where I'm relying on that, or that's kind of part of my gameplay when I know that next week that could be gone.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I don't really know if they're ever going to change the Magnum damage to cars because it's such a counter to it. And yeah. I mean, maybe they'll change the bullet drop to it or something along those lines. But when I've talked to them personally, you know, they've always said that they don't have any plans to change the Magnum. So maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. I mean, earlier today, I just killed a guy from like 150 meters. He had an AR. I had a Magnum and I killed him. So and like it was just a out in the field open fight. So I mean, you know, you really just have to kind of
make you kind of feel bad. I do that and I feel kind of bad afterwards. I'm like, I know I shouldn't have gotten that shot. I just got a headshot from way farther away than I should have. I'm sorry.
I mean, it happens though.
I've got one other opinion question for you, Manpons, before we wrap it up here. We constantly go back and forth with grenades and smokes and all these other kind of accessories that are in the game. And we're always running into this issue where is it worth dropping either a shotgun or a pistol in turn for having a Molly or another type of grenade or a smoke? What would you tell people that are kind of dealing with that same circumstance? What do you do? Do you always carry a grenade or do you keep a gun in that slot?
Well, it depends, you know, on the situation. Honestly, that's the crazy thing about H1Z1. There's some games where I'll carry two ARs and a Magnum. There will be some games where I carry two ARs and nades. I may carry two ARs and an AK. It really just depends. It's all varies really on a person's play style. If they want to be aggressive, then, you know, definitely having those instead of a Magnum will work. If you're trying to disable cars and you have that mentality going into the game, carry a Magnum. One of the things that I try to do when I do carry a Magnum is keep 250 out of my inventory at all times. That way, ahead of time, if I need to switch quickly on the fly to a grenade or something along those lines, I can just drag and drop. So I can just switch it out super quick. And then because it's still in my inventory and in my bag, when I switch it back out, I don't have to worry about reloading it again or anything.
Now,
do you think that they should add a I think Nick and I are going to ask the same question. Yep. Do you think that they should add a grenade slot?
Yeah, I do. I think that they should add a grenade slot. I think also, you know, in a game that they're wanting it to remain fast paced and everything, they should also add some hotkey fixes or, you know, whatever, where we can make makeshift armor just by hitting a button rather than to go into your inventory system and having to do that, too. So, you know, it's like those little things that would add quality of life to make the games more quick and to make it consistent and have an even flow.
And I think they're really just still finding their center. Like they've been polishing it and changing it. And it used to be, they said, you know, there were certain things they weren't going to do, you know, cause they were wanting to keep it a certain way. And over time they've kind of adapted it and figured out, well, what do we really want to have? Do we want to have, you know, like they just added being able to have a slot for bandages or for, you know, your first aid kit, those type of things that before, I think if we would have looked a year ago, they would have said, no, you know, we don't want, that's not what this game is, or we don't want that to be our game. And I think that they're getting to the point where they're still finding that, you know, finding what they really want in this game.
Honestly, I would put a lot of credit of that towards Chris Wynn, You know, if you guys really think about it, when Smedley left, there was really no updates for H1, and it was very stale. A lot of the clients, user, whatever, you know, community left because there was really nothing, no updates whatsoever for like what, 6 months or so. So yeah, to go from that, and then Chris Nguyen, when I spoke to him personally, when I was at TwitchCon, we had a meeting about some stuff. But, you know, I told him, I was like, I wanted to personally thank you because when you came in, you brought a center, you know, and you brought everything back and you're making the game good. You know, you're putting it in the direction where it needs to be. And it's not just sitting there getting stale where other games can come up out of nowhere. And slowly but surely, a lot of people that I hear all the time, like a lot of people are coming back into my stream like, hey, I stopped watching H1, so I stopped playing H1, so I stopped watching you for a little bit, but I started getting into it and I want to watch you again. So, you know, what's good for business for them is good for business for me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is we kind of transitioned away from an H1Z1 only stream because there was that 6 months of just, you know, we were a only H1Z1 stream, and it's like 6 months of no updates. I mean, that's really tough on us. Yeah. You know, and I think now they're really getting to where, and, you know, we started out as Just Survive. So I would really like to see them putting as much emphasis on this, you know, King of the Kill. And I understand this is the moneymaker and everything. But, you know, if that would be great if he could then transition that same emphasis and that same amount of work that they put into this, you know, putting into Just Survive, because, you know, I think that they both could be very different types of games, you know, and yeah, both be something that if you want to experience this one day and have a group thing to where you're just going out and finding people and killing them, that could still be Just Survive, you know, and then King of the Kill is still that kind of a PvP match.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when I talked to him personally, you know, he told me the news of the new GM that was going to be announced. He was like, you can't announce this at all. You can't talk about it. But, you know, he told me about the new GM that was going to be announced for Just Survive. And then I looked, you know, on Twitter today, and then they finally announced it. So that, along with the other stuff that he told me, I actually have a lot of faith in what's going to happen for Just Survive. So, and I think everybody, you know, if you guys are listening right now and you're into Just Survive, give it a little time, because what I actually saw with my own eyes and what I saw for H1Z1 King of the Kill, like with my own eyes, like screenshots of what they're working on, it's incredible. It really is. I'm really excited. I can't talk about it, but I'm really excited.
Well, and we'll have to have you back. I mean, we really appreciate last year you came after the Invitational League, came in and spoke with us. You came back again this year, and definitely congratulations, Nick and I, really appreciate you coming here, but also congratulations on winning. You know, I think you really deserve it. And from what I see of your fans, you have a very dedicated fan base, and what I hear of other streamers saying such positive things about you, that's pretty incredible, because you don't hear that very often. So we really do appreciate you coming out. And next time, you know, maybe another tournament, or if there's anything that you want to announce, just let us know and we can get you back on.
Absolutely, man. I'd be happy to announce anything like that. And, you know, just from me personally, I want to say thank you guys for inviting me to do this. And, you know, like you said, my community is always really awesome and they're very nice people. That's something that I really like take a lot of pride in. So when I went into this, I wanted to make not only my family happy, my community happy, just everybody that knows me. And when it comes, you know, if you guys ever want to invite me back, you know, feel free. I'm happy to do anything like that. I want to see the community actually become something that's worth being involved with. So that's, you know, that's all I want. I just want a strong community. We used to have that with H1. It kind of got a little toxic, and I'm hoping that it goes back, you know, to the good old days to a degree. But, you know, even if it doesn't, at least I'll have my good community. And I know you guys have a good set of people that support you guys too. So
now your twitch.tv/manpawns. And then do you have a streaming schedule? Is there something that people can kind of go check out to find out when you're streaming, or of course go subscribe to them, because then you get a notification. That's the best way. But is there any, you know, other than going to your Twitch TV channel, do you have a something that you want people to go to check you out?
Sure. I mean, if you want to, you can go to my Twitter. It's twitter.com/manpawns. My streaming schedule right now is currently like, I come online anywhere between like 12 and 1. That's Central Standard Time. So anywhere between 1 to 2 Eastern. And then I stream for about 6 hours a day. I do that Monday through Saturday. But I may be changing some stuff up. So, you know, just follow me on Twitter. That's the best way to keep up with me.
So twitch.tv/manpons. Check them out.
All right, and there goes our interview with Man Pons, who came in third place in the first game of the 2016 H1Z1 Invitational. Again, we want to thank him for two, you know, back-to-back years of being part of the show and giving us some insight that I don't think really anybody's heard. You know, on something like this. So, want to thank him for that, and of course, there'll be links in the show notes to his different Twitch and social media and whatnot. So we thank him for that. And he hinted at something towards the end of that there that we haven't talked about yet. And that's the new general manager for Just Survive. That's Landon Montgomery. I'm sure you saw the news if you browse the H1Z1 subreddit or if you're on their Twitter handle at all during the week. Landon Montgomery is pretty much, he is the Chris Wynn of Just Survive.
And he came from a bigger studio. He came from Gearbox,
which is like a real game studio.
Yeah, Half-Life, Halo, Tony Hawk, James Bond. I mean,
guy that's coming from and not that Daybreak isn't a real game studio. Don't take it like that. But somebody that's coming from, I believe Chris Wynn came from EA, if my memory serves me properly. But it was like a real AAA game studio, and so he worked in that environment of a company that really has strict deadlines, as we've seen with Daybreak. The deadlines are kind of all over the place. They're not bringing a game to gold, which is the process of, you know, publishing a game, getting it on CDs and getting it shipped out to stores.
Yeah, he worked for BioWare, Chris Wynn.
Okay, BioWare. But same difference.
Still a big company.
And the same thing with Gearbox. They have deadlines. They have to hit games. They have to hit gold dates to get this game, you know, produced, shipped, and in the hands
of
customers.
That's what I said originally when he came on board. I was like, he's going to walk into this studio and be like, what in the world is going on? He's like, you know, you guys aren't doing this. You aren't doing this. Like, and I'm assuming that's what they're trying to pull off with getting people that have come from, you know, other large studios like Gearbox. I mean, they put out such big titles. You know that they're doing something right. And so I think they're trying to get a lot of those bad, some of the good habits from these people that have come from that environment. So when they come in, they're like, okay, we need to do this. We need to do this. Let's change this. And we've seen a lot, as Manpons hinted, we saw a lot of that with Chris Wynn. Like, the things that we appreciate now and we've been seeing change and become more positive have come from that point on.
Yeah.
Because I think we hit an all-time low of just nothing was happening. We felt like it was at a standstill. And then they brought him on. And at that point, King of the Kill really took off. So I'm hoping that with this move of Landon coming on to the team, that they're going to start really putting focus. And that's something that Manpons said he saw screenshots and some of the work that they're getting ready to do that they're not making public and they can't really talk about. There are things happening. This is one thing that Daybreak has not really ever done is say, hey, look, because of partially the community, you know, they say something like, we're going to put this out, or here's something to expect. And then we get mad when it's not there a month later.
Yeah.
And so I think they've really pulled back and not wanting to put out those promises anymore, or they change their mind and say, we're not going to do it this way. And then we say, hey, a year ago you said this. So I think they're really just starting to focus on delivering. And I'm hoping that we're going to start seeing him deliver and Just Survive, because I think they've just done a hands-off up to this point of, we're not going to work on it until we're ready. Then we can put the resources and really make this happen. So hopefully this is that indicator of what the same thing of what Chris Wynn was.
And there's some interesting things to note specifically. This is a pretty long Reddit post. It's probably
this was his introduction
to the community. There's a few things I just want to quickly run through here. My voice is actually somehow improving.
I was really sick?
Yeah, it improved towards the end of the show.
It
was weird.
It got to where I don't know if it numbed or what.
So there's a few things here. And the first one is this. And he says, this is him speaking. It's my job to oversee Just Survive top to bottom and deliver on existing and future promises of the game. that's an interesting thing to note there. So just because there's a new guy in charge, he is making the claim that, you know, there is still existing promises that we've made to you in the past that we're hoping come true, you know, when we're actively working to come true. Now, don't take that as everything they've said in the past. Like, oh my God, does that mean we're really going to get a new base billing system? I don't think. I mean, this post doesn't indicate that to me. But at least from that comment.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Somewhere else they did. So.
But in that comment, I think.
But not all.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing to understand about this. You know, they're going to try to work on the future, on existing things that they promised. Now, of course, that means not everything is going to get done. But, you know, that's a good sign that he's not just saying, you know what, everything you heard for the past year and a half, throw it out the door because it's no longer valid. He's at least saying right up front, hey, there are some things that we promised in the past. Let's see what's going to happen with those. Other than that, of course, people commenting already, oh, the game sucks. It's like, really? Like, this is his introduction post, and you're already complaining about him about things on the game. Like, he's been there for 2 weeks. So,
I was really tempted to, because there was the other person there was another person who was brought onto the Just Survive community that introduced himself, and I really just wanted to write him a message and say I'm sorry for what you're about to receive.
Yeah,
not from me, but just I know people are going to say hey, and just start yelling at him for things that haven't. These guys are new, so we have to give them a chance to prove themselves.
Yeah, and so it appears that he's going to be doing a bunch of different things, top to bottom. You know, looking over the game and managing that, but he's also going to be the public face of Just Survive as well. So it appears that
because they've lost a lot of those. I mean, we all the ones that we came to know are either no longer there or they've backed off into a different role.
I'm not sure what Greg was kind of the face of Daybreak and H1Z1, and he's still doing their streams, but in which and we've had Greg on the show before in the past. But the issue we had with Greg, and I think the issue that a lot of the community had with Greg, was that he wasn't part of the development.
He wasn't an engineer.
Process.
He wasn't a developer. So he couldn't answer the technical questions.
Yeah, he was dealing with PR, and that's not his job. His job is not. He wasn't hired to be a game developer. So that's not a criticism towards him. But I think that was where a lot of the frustration came through: is people asking more technical questions about the game, and he unfortunately wasn't able to answer those because he wasn't, you know, in the development process, or he just wasn't able to get that information out of the developers. But with Landon Montgomery, I'm hoping, because he's going to be dealing with the game from top to bottom, he's going to be in there. He's going to be talking to the developers, and hopefully he can translate that internal developer stuff over to the Reddit or YouTube or Twitter, however he wants to, you know, transfer that information. So, and then he also mentions that, you know, he's actively building up the Just Survive team. I'm sure bringing in people and friends that he's worked with in the past, if that's an option, you know, people that he trusts. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think we're going to have any major Just Survive updates, probably in the next month or so.
I was kind of guessing till after Thanksgiving. I don't expect anything real till after, because there's that whole leading up to Thanksgiving. There's very little development, and I hate when they try to put out a big patch right before Thanksgiving, because it's not going to get fixed. Like, if something's broken, it's not going to get fixed until after Thanksgiving anyways. And so that's getting to this time of year. We hit a point where there's so many holidays, and ones that, like Christmas, can take up a week. Sometimes a lot of people take off a week.
We have week and a half, 2 weeks.
Thanksgiving can be a week for a lot of people. So there's very little accomplished. So I think between Thanksgiving and Christmas is their time that maybe we'll start seeing some first initial patches.
And we've got less than 2 weeks until Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the 24th. And I'm sorry. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's the 24th of November. So we've got like
a month and a half.
We've got about a month and a half until that. But I don't necessarily know if I buy until Thanksgiving. I think we could see something by November 1st.
Well, they may roll out the new map, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be something they roll out. But I'm talking about major things that is Just Survive, like base building, some of the survival aspects. I don't expect to start seeing the actual way that the game is played in Just Survive actually changing. Their big thing right now, I'm sure that they're doing in the background, is trying to get whatever aspects they have to roll into the new map, whether it's spawn points, where people can build. All those things have to be changed when going from King of the Kill to Just Survive.
Yeah.
Because all that data does not exist in King of the Kill. So I think that's a lot of why it seems like there's a lull, that there's a delay, is because they're now taking the map that they feel like they've, for the most part, finished, and then converting it over. So, and they did put out a producer's letter. This was yesterday that they put out. This is regarding King of the Kill, but they talk about the scrapyard in it. And they said that they are hoping to get that back in on the next build. They said they had to re-architect it. And this is where you can take duplicate unwanted items, break them down, and then try to create different skins or get different skins from those, get them unlocked. So that's something we can expect, I would assume, in the next couple of weeks. If it's in the next build, you know, hopefully we'll see a patch.
It's on the test server. It's on the test servers.
Yeah. So I haven't heard when they're saying they're going to roll that test server into live.
Yeah.
But somebody, a week, 2 weeks.
See. So this is from our friends over at H1Z1DB. They tweeted this out earlier from the test server. By the way, he's getting like 150 frames a second. I don't know what's going on there. But this is how Scrapyard is going to look. Again, a nice UI. It's similar with the style that those kind of broad brush strokes for the title bar there. So it's in the test server now if you want to go in and play around with it. Personally, I don't think I'm going to. I think I'll just wait for it to come live. But
yeah,
it's in the test server if you're interested and you want to play around with it a little bit. So. I saw
a post on Reddit, someone saying that they lost all their scraps by doing it on the test server. Like, they lost all their stuff.
Huh.
So I'd be kind of nervous of testing that out because...
Well, you don't have anything on the test server, though.
Well, he was saying he lost everything.
Well, that doesn't make sense because your skins aren't on test server. So I don't see.
Yeah, so maybe he was talking about his test server skins.
All right.
I don't know how many you could have.
Life goes on.
Yeah. And I don't really have anything to play with on the test server. Like, I don't have enough skins.
I don't think I have more than like 5 skins on the whole test server. I really don't.
Yeah. Gadla's saying that's why they unlocked a bunch of skins. So they have a bunch of skins that they unlocked for you here recently.
Oh, okay.
So that you do have some to break down. So, and they're talking about another thing with the hoods. If it says if you are wearing a hoodie and equip a helmet, the hoodie will automatically go down so that the helmet is visible, because that's something people can do, is hide their helmet. So you don't know if they have a helmet on by wearing a hoodie, because it doesn't have the hoodie going over the helmet. It's just like you don't have a helmet on at all. So that's been a complaint of a lot of people, not knowing when maybe they, you know, someone's helmet's been broken. It's a good way to hide your status. So, they're talking about a new crate that's coming in October. It's going to be a holiday crate, holiday themed. It says that they're going to have a ultra rare demon mask, some famous monster masks. So that's going to be their Halloween themed one. This is stuff that we can expect hopefully here in the next week or two. And we'll have the link to the show notes so you can go through and read it all for yourself. He does talk a little bit about the Invitational in this. And some of the bugs that are outstanding that they said they're really trying to focus on getting fixed. So we'll have a link to that. You can read it through. This one's by Chris Wynn.
Yep. Cool stuff.
All right. And then, another thing, we were talking about this a little bit in the chat, but the, Reddit moderators, or H1Z1's Reddit has an opening. So if you are looking to be a Reddit moderator, or if you want to change that, they have another spot opening. So you could submit your name. I don't think I'd want to sign myself up for the abuse, but
yeah, good Lord.
if you're looking for something like that, we'll have a link in the show notes as well, where you can go and submit your resume to be one of the Reddit moderators for H1Z.
This isn't directed towards anybody, but you have to be home almost all the time. Like, you have to work from home. You couldn't have like an office 9-to-5 job and be a Reddit moderator. On most subreddits. I mean, the H1Z1 subreddit is pretty active. And you,
someone has to be there constantly monitoring it. And so,
like most pretty popular subreddits, I mean,
yeah,
they've got people that take different shifts. But I couldn't imagine doing this if you weren't working from home.
I mean, you're not getting paid. I just don't know why.
Well, I mean, no, if I was home for, you know, if I was home all day and there was no.
I'd want 30 people doing this, though. I mean, I wouldn't want it. They've got, what, 7 people or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I'd want 30 people to where whoever gets to it first, like, just, you know, what's the difference? Have a lot of people doing it. So yeah. I don't know. It's in there. If you're interested in it, I figured I'd mention it since it does have something to do with H1Z1. So another one that came out. So 7 Days to Die. This is an awesome game. They've been putting out some really good content lately. Alpha 15 has been officially released. I've gone over a lot of it. We talked about a number of the different things with the, because I've been kind of hinting at the preview that one of the developers has been putting out. But they have 23 new locations that have been added to that pre-made map and also will show up in the random generated worlds now. 5 different unique trader settlements, a hotel, or 3 different hotels, a football stadium, but that's one in the pre-made one only, auto parts store, bomb shelter, just a whole bunch of things. So it'd be an excellent time to go and maybe regenerate your map. You know, this is a fun game. It's just you got to have people that are willing to get on at consistent times and play it. But this is a really fun game. And then they released Random Gen Worlds 3.0. So that's kind of they've had 2 previous ones. Just whenever they do a really big upgrade to the generation system, they give it a new version number. So they said they added a new road system that I talked about before, where it actually intersects and makes it so that the places that populated areas are a little bit more naturally placed. They added a journal tip system. So as you're going through in your journal, you can go through and you can, it writes all the old tips in there. You can go through and see some of the things that were previously shown, from like gun assembly to, you know, harvesting things. They have now a trader and economy system. They have vending machines. They have a Blue Moon Horde party system. So it says they added a partying system that groups players together into parties of one or more players with a minimum distance. These players will now each get their own Blood Moon Horde. So it kind of has a little extra game mode in there, and you can change the difficulty for that. It says they have a chemistry station, new zombies, a whole bunch of different, which we went over before. So I mean, this is a huge patch. It's got 40, 50, 60 different new recipes, a ton of new lootable items. So I'll have a link to this because it's got to be about 20 something pages of patch
notes. And Brian's going to read them all starting right now. So get ready.
Yeah, and I'll start from the beginning and start reading through. So this is a game where they don't put out a ton of small patches. They put them, like, this is the 15th patch.
But it's still it's actively being developed throughout the weeks.
Through the whole time. They just don't release until they have a bunch of content. So they don't give it to you in little pieces.
Which is an interesting model, because it seems like would I be wrong in saying that it seems like most games do the little incremental update? Like most indie-ish games, I mean, I guess you could classify 7 Days to Die as indie, right?
Yes.
It seems like most indie games, because they're making so many changes that they have to, you know, they have to do the little incremental updates. And this also I think goes back to, you know, they've kind of got a plan beforehand and they're not just kind of, you know.
Yeah. I think they're building towards
to see
something.
What's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're building towards something, and a lot of it is just optimizing their game, making improvements, adding in all these characters. It's an awesome game. If you haven't played 7 Days to Die, I encourage you to go out, and it is a difficult game to learn. You know, we had Heisenberg, who plays this game religiously. I mean, he's the person I know who plays this game the most. And so he went through and pretty much taught us what to do. So we had a seamless game really for our first game. But I would expect that if you don't have someone going through and showing you how to do this, you'll die a lot the first beginning part. You're going to constantly die. So I would go through, check it out. If you don't have this game, pick it up. If it's ever on sale, grab it. We'll be having some of the holiday sales coming up here soon. But this is an awesome game. It has a really good online community, and it's also really good single player. You can generate the worlds or play that map on your own server or your own computer at your house, and it hosts it locally. And you can play, and as you can see, it's constantly changing. They're improving it. So go out and get it. It's Alpha 15, 7 Days to Die. If you haven't played it since the last one, log in, because there's so many changes. And as I said, we'll have the patch notes here, so you can go check it out for yourself.
Cool stuff.
One thing I did want to hint at is some of the stuff coming up in Alpha 16. Just some of the overall things. They're going to have new beards, more hairstyles, new clothing. They're going to have – they're replacing some of the animals in there. They said that the ones that they put in there were generic Unity assets. Unity is the game engine. And so they're redoing the bears, stags, and pigs with their own ones, replacing the hornet and zombie vulture, adding snakes, wolves. It just, you know, these are some of the, they added a new zombie. They said the fat Hawaiian shirt zombie, they added them back. I guess people were upset that they, it's kind of like in H1Z1, you change the name of a town, you remove something, people freak out on Reddit. And so, yeah, they're going to be putting, these are just a few of the notes, but that's what they're working towards in Alpha 16. So I'd expect that in the next couple of months, because it takes them a little while to get these things out.
Yep.
Now that is 7 Days to Die. Now Rust, they put out a dev blog. I don't know. Usually you can't play any videos or anything, but yeah, there's a YouTube video on there.
Oh, I can play that. Let's see.
The first link is a YouTube video that kind of jumps through some of the different things in this patch.
You want to play the whole thing?
It's 7 minutes.
You want to just do a few minutes of it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is there audio?
Yes.
All right, here we go. We'll look. We'll peel out of it probably 3 or 4 minutes into it. So this is the Rust update.
Greetings, survivors and friends. I'm ShadowFrax, and welcome to another weekly rummage through the Rusty Classified section, where we have more info on the new caves, some sexy, sexy components, and the death of Legacy. But first, does the thought of all of that rubbish that you keep producing stop you from sleeping at night? Do you lie awake in the wee hours fretting that you're not pulling your weight as a fine upstanding citizen of Rust Island by letting your old knickknacks and crap build up in boxes around the house, or even worse, contributing to the wholesale rape and pillage of the environment by leaving discarded cans and bottles where poor defenseless bears and wolves could accidentally choke to death on them? I bet you're the sort of person who deliberately strangles swans to death with those plastic beer can connector thingies, aren't you? You bird murderer. Well, over on the pre-release branch, there's now a brand new device that will not only help to ease your troubled wildlife slaughtering conscience, but also reward you by breaking down unwanted items into fantastic usable components. Introducing the Recycler, which is a swanky new public amenity available in all good rad towns on the pre-release branch as of this update. Simply pop whatever you don't want in the top, turn it on, and after some curiously loud grunting and groaning that sounds like a group of asthmatic Daleks having a coughing fit, the item is destroyed and a selection of ingredients are spat out that can then be repurposed into whatever sordid devices you see fit to make. You'll only receive a fraction of the components back that would go into making a new item, as there's always some waste involved in any recycling enterprise, but this does mean that you'll be able to exchange items found in loot for raw materials and then put them towards something you really want, like a shiny new bucket helmet or that vodka still. Water purifier you wanted. In addition to this, the Recycler will be playing a large part in the upcoming component system, as it will allow the inclusion of some very specific items, such as propane tanks and tarpaulins, which, although only used in a small number of crafting recipes, can alternatively be broken down into more generic resources, such as metal frags and cloth. The model you see here is only a placeholder, built for functionality rather than aesthetics, but in time, a far more polished version will be gracing our screens, and here is a preview of what it could look like. Sweet. In addition to this, a selection of uncraftable components have now been inserted into the pre-release branch in preparation for all of the new incoming recipes, which will start being added this week. Don't get your knickers in a twist about the icons, though, will you? They're only placeholders to get things up and running. If you fancy getting on pre-release yourself and trying shiz out, I'll put a link in the description to some instructions on...
All right, so there's links and details to getting on the pre-release. That recycling thing is pretty neat. A lot of these games, even H1Z1 and ARK 2, they've got just things that you don't know what to do with. And they're just
sticking in storage containers and have no real use.
Or just throwing them on the ground and waiting for them to despawn. So that's nice that there's some type of trade-off that you have now. But, all right, I don't need this item. I won't need this item. Let's use some type of recycling. And it's interesting that you can't put that in your base. So it's kind of a risk to go do. It said that there's going to be one in each city. So you have to also decide, is it worth going to
and risking getting killed?
It seems like it's something you do with, you'd have only stuff you were recycling with you. It doesn't seem like it would be something that you wouldn't go to just recycle one or two bottles. You would take an entire inventory full of things and do it one by one, not doing it one by one. So that's pretty neat.
And of course they always talk about changes to, some of the graphic system. They've been improving the fog in this. They've been kind of reworking some of the UI. Another thing is the caves. They've been working on the caves quite a bit, fixing some of the lighting and different things in the past couple weeks. But they talked about three different sizes. They're going to have a small, medium, and large caves that have different difficulty levels. So easy to difficult for small caves, easy to difficult for medium caves, and then large caves are going to be average to difficult. So, maybe if you're a lower level player, you don't have as much stuff, or you're not in a group or something, you wouldn't want to go to the larger of the caves. And they talk about some industrial props that they're adding to it, which I think are more just they're going to be sitting in that area, maybe where the industrial grinder is, but the recycler. I'm sure that's just going to be graphics. They've been working on some of the gun animations. They're adding as far as the guitar, they're adding some different animations. There's a guitar in there that you can hold. And so they have the player actually running around and kind of holding the guitar as if he's playing it.
Cool.
Fixing some of that. That's the main change as well. The list at the bottom, they have their actual change log. So you can go through and see all the details. They said doubled XP earn rates. So if you're playing that game and you get XP in there, they are doing double the amount of XP now than previously. So keep that in mind. And that is Rust. Now, Grav is a game that we've played a little bit. Landgun and I really played it quite a bit. And they don't put out patches very often. But this week, for some reason, he put out, six patches? Wow. Six patches this week. So the first one, they're really small ones. So the first one was some DB query optimization. So he started with that. That was 9.71. And then he moved on to 9.72. And he had improvements where it says when receiving XP, it shows what you received as far as the XP. They removed updating of some players' stats. And then a couple of bug fixes that they made. And then 9.7.3. He went through and removed some more, improvements to player stats, and then fixed planet choice menu getting closed. Just another bug when it was supposed to be opening. 9.74, he went through and fixed some database connection errors that were hanging, and then fixed some of the visual elements that are in the desert planets. So two small bug fixes. So, it's just a lot of, it's not like, I don't know why he didn't just put this all out in one patch in 1 week. They cleaned up the database a little bit and then balanced the PvE planets. And then a couple other bug fixes having to do with graphics. And then 9.76. So this is all in the same week. They fixed some of the language files. And so something spurred in them to actually put out some bug fixes. So he started on one, and then for the next 5 days, I think it was, he was putting out patch after patch. So we'll see how long until they actually put out another patch. if this is going to be another 2 months, 3 months without anything. And then, so it must be a small development team that, I have some time to work on it this week. I'm actually going to put some stuff out. So he would make the patch and then release it immediately. So now Unturned had another patch this week. They seem to be, it's been almost weekly now for Unturned.
Yeah, we've been talking about it every week, I think.
Yeah, so they've been putting out quite a bit. This is 3.17.1.0. It was released on October 7th, and they added a bunch of things. So they added Lieutenant Oswald, who's in charge of the scouting area. So they're adding some NPCs, fixing some quests, fixing some of the blueprints that are in there, adding like a bayonet, a quad barrel gun, So they've been going through and just kind of improving those things, and they have a number of tweaks and fixes. I'm not going to go through them all right now, but we will have a list if you want to go through and check it out on our show notes. That's 3.17.1.0. I always like to mention it is a free-to-play game. It is a survival game. Has a lot of people that have the game. So you should check it out. Now, do we want to go into the next game giveaway?
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to reset it right now. So it'll only be people that enter from this point on. And this one's going to be Serious Sam 3 Deluxe. So this game is... I don't know if you've ever played. Have you ever played the Serious Sam series?
I've actually played Serious Sam, yes.
So, yeah, this is the deluxe one. I can't really find the deluxe on the list because they have, like, the BFE version.
Okay.
I don't know if they offer the deluxe one anymore, but this will be Serious Sam 3 Deluxe, and I'll put a link to the Steam page in here. So you're more than welcome to check that out. And, yeah, we'll roll it here and just after the next set of announcements. Are we going into, I think, yeah, current players. So after current players, we'll roll for it, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, all right. So here goes nothing with current players.
See if you can make it through.
Yeah, here we go. This is H1Z1, Just Surviving, King of the Kill combined. Currently playing that 17,030, the 24-hour peak for those games, 22,555, and the 7-day peak, 30,258. How about Just Survive? The numbers are not looking too hot on Just Survive right now. Currently playing that, only 1,807. The 24-hour peak, 2,551. And the 7-day peak, just over 3,000. 3,312. Now, on the other hand, King of the Kill is looking fantastic. King of the Kill, currently playing that, 15,223. The 24-hour peak for that, 20,004. And the 7-day peak, which is now also the all-time peak, 26,946. Ark, this is Survival Evolved. Currently playing that, 26,204. The 24-hour peak for that, 40,643. And the 7-day peak, 56,057. And Miscreated, just for you, Brian. Currently playing that, still over 1,000. 1,024. The 24-hour peak, 1,495. And the 7-day peak, 2,045. There you go. That's current players. So there we go.
Very good. And it's just like, I always like to see Miscreated holding on. So
still it's holding on, but I think sooner rather than later, we're going to see that 1,000 tick back
down.
They
got to keep putting out content and doing improvements. I mean, they've done really well. So they put it in the Humble Bundle recently and did a number of things to really push it. So I think if they keep doing things like that, keep the numbers up, because that type of a game has to have people playing it for it to be a ton of fun. So if they can keep players in the game, I think, you know, even if they're selling it at a discounted price, I think they're going to get more sales from that. So, yeah. All right. So do you want to go into the tip of the week?
Sure.
All right. Tip of the week is where I go through and either do a survival tip, maybe about a specific game, but this is something that hopefully will help you in your gameplay. This is Tip of the Week. All right. This Tip of the Week is H1Z1 related because we've been playing so much of it.
I figured.
So we start out as the H1Z1 podcast, and I used to do a specific H1Z1 tip.
How did you do that? We did that for what, 70 something weeks, 60 something?
Yeah, so 70s, doing multiple ones because we had my beginner and advanced tip of the week. So,
oh geez, I remember that. Like 100, those were the days.
That was 140 tips. So yeah, all right. So this one is one that is. It seems like a beginner tip, but it is actually one that's very important. Helmets and body armor become incredibly important in PvP. I mean, and also in Just Survive. But lately, it's something that's become a vital part of the game. So when looting buildings, it's really important to pick up the helmets, to pick up the military backpacks that you find, because those can be broken down into components that are used when crafting body armor. You'll also need to find duct tape that is just laying around in different areas. There is a reason to pick those up. If you pick up the duct tape, it you can break down one helmet, one backpack, and use one duct tape, and you'll be able to make the handcrafted body armor. One thing that you can do is you can find the pre-made body armor around, which is a little bit better, but those are pretty rare. And once that's damaged, you know, if you don't have a backup one, also it takes up a lot of room in your inventory. So it might be better to go through and just keep the materials. So keep the broken down elements of the helmet, keep the broken down elements of the backpack and one piece of duct tape. If your body armor gets damaged and breaks, you can craft another one really quickly, throw it on. Same thing, keep a couple extra helmets, because nowadays you can get it to where one hit will take your helmet away. Next hit will kill you. So it's really important to keep a spare helmet and make sure it's not the one that you're either planning on breaking down, you know, that you have enough to break down and make another body armor, because those will just make it take more hits for the other players to kill you. It can take up to 7 hits, I think, from what I've read, to kill somebody if they have a helmet and body armor. And those are all hits that actually hit you. That can make it go up to 7 hits before you die. So it's really good to keep those on you. So if you're not constantly making body armor, making sure you have it, because you can get it with this method early in the game. I mean, pretty much in just King of the Kill, right after the drop, you're able to go in and make this body armor. It definitely will save your life. So get in the habit of making that. And that is my tip of the week.
Yes, you will soon no longer be passing up duct tape when you walk by it in the house. You will be.
Yeah, now I pick up and we always ask, hey, does everyone have body armor?
Yeah.
And, you know, we make sure that everybody has it, and you'll find yourself saying, oh, man, if I only had duct tape.
Yeah, always. It's always duct tape. It's duct tape 100% of the time. So I can, being not the best player, I can confirm that having the body armor definitely makes a difference.
And with the hit markers now, you can hear, like, when you hit somebody, it'll make a certain sound when you knock their helmet off.
Yep.
Like, you'll be like, okay, I got their helmet. Oh, I took off their body armor. Okay, you know, we've hit them. Okay, they're bleeding. Like, you can time that stuff and figure out exactly what's going on with that other player, to where maybe even in a vehicle, like, you shoot somebody who's in a vehicle. Well, if you just take off their helmet, they're not bleeding. Like, you chasing them, they can just keep driving. If you can get them bleeding in a vehicle in front of you, you can then chase them and they will bleed out if they don't stop and bandage. So you can use that as a strategy in your game to, you know, kill people that, especially we're talking about, you know, what about the vehicles? Everybody gets in a vehicle and it kind of turns into them just driving around. Well, you can use that method. If you can get them bleeding in a vehicle and just keep chasing them, eventually they will have to stop.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It seems like every time I'm in a car, I can get shot, but I don't think I've ever hit anybody in a car. Maybe once, but I always get hit in the car.
We've been doing it. Yeah. We've been doing it a lot more lately, to where, especially like in the pickup truck, you can have somebody facing back. You can have someone facing forward.
Oh, the pickup truck is cool. You should do that for the tip next week.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to remember what that was, and you just, that's the,
write it down, mark it down. Cliffhanger.
I'll write it down because that is something that one of our clanmates said, oh, I didn't know about that. And you know that. That was a really good tip. So,
well, coming up next week, get ready.
I'll put that one in next week and we'll go over it.
It's going to be quite a, it's a very, I don't think many people know about it. Or I should say, I don't think most people know about it.
Joe, don't give it away. We're saving it for next week.
Whatever.
I can't believe you, Joe.
All right. So, you want to roll for the raffle?
Yep. Let's go ahead and roll. This is going to be, let's see. Hit draw now. All right. So this is Ms. Reptar 89, and she actually just entered a second ago. So congratulations. Wow. Does not follow Infection Podcast. I encourage you to follow us so that you'll get notified when we do our show every week, and also when we start doing the live streams.
Yeah.
So that way, if you want to come in and hang out with us when we're streaming live gameplay, you'll get a notification. And Nick and I have been doing a double box, which is pretty fun, to where you can actually see both of us. If one of us dies, we can switch to the full screen to the other person. It's been working out really well.
Yeah, we're still ironing out some bugs with the double box, but it's been it's been pretty good. It's something I don't see many other people doing, and it's super easy to do with Twitch. So it ends up looking. Let's see. Do I have any gameplay here? I don't. But ends up looking something sort of like this, but us both in game. So
yeah,
actually something just like this, where we're both playing at the same time, and it's kind of cool to see two different aspects of the same thing. So yeah, cool feature.
Very good. And I will, if you check, this will be a Steam key. So if you check into your other folder under messages, it'll be from Infection Podcast. And then you can redeem that on Steam. Congratulations.
Yeah. Alrighty. where can people find you, Brian?
Yeah. If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or if you want to check out my blog, Bite of Tech, that's BITE of tech.com. Also go onto our Infection Podcast website, infectionpodcast.com. We have a link to our Discord, which we have constant people just chatting throughout the day whenever we play games, doing a lot of five mans through that. So it's a great place to go if you're trying to get into H1Z1 again, or you enjoy playing with groups. Just jump into a channel there, see if anyone wants to play, and usually you can get a five man pretty quickly. Also, we have our Steam group if you want to get notified of when the games are coming up, like the game of the week, or when the broadcasts are coming up. We have that on our calendar. You can go to our website. On the upper right, it says Join Steam Group. You can become a member of that. So I think that's it for me.
And what are we playing this week?
This week, we're going to do another H1Z1. So we'll be making for some five-man groups. So I would encourage you, if you haven't played, get it installed, try it out, kind of get used to the new interface. And then we'll be starting about 9 o'clock Eastern.
Alrighty. And of course, as Brian stated, we are live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for Infection, the Survival Podcast. And we've been coming and going on the stream throughout the week, typically on weekends when we were playing King of the Kill. So definitely, if you're not already following the channel, follow the channel and get notifications. Man, I don't know what's going on, but we've been having crazy streaming issues with different versions of OBS and vMix. So I'm going to try to get all that stuff finally ironed out. But other than that, we're going to have our big announcement next week, and we hope you'll join us live for that next week. If you're somebody that listens to the show on podcast or RSS after the fact. So excuse me, look forward to that next week. And before I croak over and die here, that is going to do it for episode number 91 of Infection. Thanks everybody for tuning in live. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.